This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll begin reading with verse 5. The Apostle Paul says, "We don't preach about ourselves. Instead, we preach about Jesus Christ as Lord, and we describe ourselves as the slaves for Jesus' sake. God said that light should shine out of the darkness. He is the same one who shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay pots, so that the awesome power belongs to God and doesn't come from us. We are experiencing all kinds of trouble, but we aren't crushed. We are confused, but we aren't depressed. We are harassed, but we aren't abandoned. We are knocked down, but we aren't knocked out. We always carry Jesus' death around in our bodies so that Jesus' life can also be seen in our bodies. We who are alive are always being handed over to death for Jesus' sake so that Jesus' life can also be seen in our bodies that are dying. So death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." There it was. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So goes the familiar liturgical phrase. But what is the meaning of this commonplace fixture within our liturgy? We are, in repeating these words, recognizing that the words we just heard are from God. They are words that open to us the nature, the character, the promises, and the call of our God. We are acknowledging that these words are communal. They are words that are for all of us. In this regard, the promises, the hopes, the comfort, and the call of these words are not just for me alone or you alone. These are words for the community. Nobody, no group, has a personal claim on the words that we hear together from Scripture. Before we leave this place today, we will gather at the table. We will break bread. We will take up the cup. In doing so, we will remember our Lord's death and proclaim His glorious resurrection. We will, in the blessing of the bread and cup, seek a fresh pouring out of the Spirit upon us in these moments. The broken bread and the blessed cup will be proclaimed to be the gifts of God for the people of God. Both of these liturgical phrases, the word of God for the people of God and the gifts of God for the people of God, have their origin in the 4th century Sanctus Sancta, which was the holy for the holy, or holy things for holy people. It was in a 1979 revision of the Book of Common Prayer that the phrases became the gifts of God for the people of God. As a pastor and as a worshiper, these words suit me. I need to be reminded that the words of Scripture, that Holy Communion, are the gifts of God, that they are for all the people, that when we hear the words of Scripture, we receive the gifts of communion, the curtains of all time and eternity are parted, and we are given a glimpse of who God is, what God is saying, what God is doing, right here in this place, right now, at this time. These gifts of God are for making known to us anew the presence of God that is with us even now. But are these the only gifts of God, the only disclosures of the character, the nature, promises, and comforts of God to the people of God? Are Scripture and communion the only way the presence of God is made known to us? What about the gift of the Holy Spirit, which has been poured out upon all flesh, young and old, sons and daughters? That certainly seems to be a gift of God for all the people of God. What about other gifts which are entrusted to us? The Apostle Paul says that we have this treasure in clay pots, so that the awesome power of God belongs to God and doesn't come from us. He's referring to the ministry and message of the gospel, which he is called to proclaim. He understands all that he has to share, and the power thereof is not from him, but is a treasure coming from God. In comparison to that treasure, he sees himself as but the clay pot. It leaves one wondering why anyone would put treasure into something as insubstantial as a clay pot. Why not a holy vessel, such as, say, the Ark of the Covenant? It was a chest which was included in the building of the tabernacle and came to rest in the Holy of Holies with the construction of the temple. Within this ark were placed the tablets of the law, which God gave to Moses. The lid of the chest, which was also referred to as the mercy seat, was a golden plate upon which two cherubim with raised wings faced each other, covering the ark. Now that sounds like a treasure chest, but a clay pot? Is that any place for a treasure like the awesome power of God? Maybe it tells us that when it comes to the awesome power that belongs to God, God is completely and totally indiscriminate when it comes to the Holy Spirit. God does pour out the Spirit on all flesh, young and old, sons and daughters. When it comes to God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, God's forgiveness, it is poured out freely on everyone. Remember, our liturgy declares not only that Scripture is the Word of God and that the broken bread and uplifted cup are gifts of God, but also that both are for the people of God. It is not a stretch for us to at least conceive that the good gifts we receive come from God. We want to believe that. We want to think that God is loving and that God's favor is smiling upon us. And with some discipline and focus, we can even begin to see the handprint of God's mercy and grace in the gifts that we receive. The challenge and the rub of our liturgy is the part where we are reminded that these gifts are for the people of God. John McGojab writes, "In the world, and often in the church, gifts distinguish us from others and place us above or below them. In Christ, and only by the grace of the Holy Spirit in the church, gifts draw us to one another and place us side by side, a unique corporate witness to the new creation inaugurated in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ." Here's another thing about putting treasure in a clay pot. The pot that is empty is best prepared to be filled with treasure. A pot already containing something else will not only have less space available, the treasure that is put there may be diluted or polluted by what is already within the pot. Paul would tell us as much. You might say that before encountering the living Christ in a vision on the road to Damascus, he was full of himself. He identified as privileged, saying, "If anyone has reason to put their confidence in physical advantages, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I am from the people of Israel in the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. With respect to observing the law, I'm a Pharisee. With respect to devotion to the faith, I harass the church. With respect to righteousness under the law, I'm blameless. These things were my assets. But I wrote them off as loss for the sake of Christ. But even beyond that, I consider everything a loss in comparison for the superior value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. I have lost everything for Him. But what I lost, I think of as sewer trash, so that I might gain Christ and be found in Him." Now, are we to think that the treasure of God's awesome power was poured into Paul for his own edification and favor? I don't think so. The treasure he had received remained the gift of God for the people of God, not just Paul. He might have been the clay pot filled with the awesome power of God, but it was in turn to be offered and poured out upon all the people of God. And in sharing the gift of God with the people of God, Paul found probably his greatest joy. Ed Young reminds us, some of the most precious gifts we receive are those we receive when we're giving. If we were to break this sermon like a fragile clay pot against a stone, what shards of treasure might we be left with this morning? One piece that might be found among the ruins of the pot is the idea that whatever treasure we possess, it comes from God and not from our own power. Or as the Epistle of James says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Here's another shard of truth. Any old pot will do. God has enough mercy and grace and love to go around, and all God's blessings are poured out indiscriminately into any and every clay pot. Let us be warned about a couple of shreds of truth that are found from this broken pot of a sermon. In order to be filled, we must empty ourselves. Let us also remember that whatever good treasure is poured into the clay pot that we are, it is to be poured out in turn upon all God's people. The more treasure we share, the more joy God will pour into our pots. Whenever life's day has ended, let us also be able to say what the desert father, Abba Sisois, said when he was dying. Look, the Lord is coming, and he's saying, bring me the vessel from the desert. When it comes to the treasure of God's awesome power, love, and mercy, let us proclaim, all of this is the gift of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.